Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Simeon had an appointment. Our text says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. So Simeon had an appointment to see Jesus. And then our text says this. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Have you ever felt the warmth of a newborn baby in your arms? Have you ever seen the sparkle of those little eyes, seeing everything for the first time? Have you ever seen those trusting eyes meet your own? We were watching some videos of our older daughter Natalie's first hours and days a couple of days ago. And I don't know about you, but I felt like Simeon the first time I held Natalie in my arms. I hope I'm not embarrassing her too much. But I did. That was 19 years ago. But I'll never forget that morning after Christmas. She was, what, 4 days old? 5 days old, the day after Christmas. And I just held that smallness in my arms. And, you know, we spent some time alone together. Rachel was sleeping in the hospital room, and Natalie's white garment seemed to outshine everything else that was white in the hospital. And and I sang some Christmas carols to her that day, as softly as my quavering voice allowed. And I prayed with her, and I praised God for giving her to us and blessing us with my daughter's birth, as well as my Savior's birth. That was a Christmas to see. Everything seemed so bright and wonderful, even though the day was just like this, cold and gray outside, but everything was bright inside. I had brought some Christmas lights along, which I strung around Rachel's hospital room, and the hospital room seemed to glimmer merrily, and all the windows were glistening with the frost that day. And there was I, you know, daddy cuddling his little girl in his arms. And I was just exploding with joy. Sometimes we get to embrace a baby like that in our arms. Sometimes we get to experience a Christmas like that. But sometimes we don't get to see Christmas quite that way. Sometimes we don't get to hold that baby. We want to see Christmas like that. We often expect to see Christmas like that. But often enough, something gets in the way. Listen to how it went for Mary and Joseph. Remember, this is 8 days after Jesus was born. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Can you imagine? They come into the temple, and here is this man, comes up, takes Jesus in his arms, and looks at him and holds him and starts saying these wonderful things. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Ah, yes, isn't that wonderful? He's a Savior. Then Simeon blessed them. Isn't this just great? You could see Joseph and Mary just beaming. And he said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined. Feel the expectation. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Okay. I wasn't really expecting that. Okay. And to be a sign that will be spoken against. Wait a second. So that the hearts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. I don't think that's what Mary and Joseph were expecting. When our second daughter, Laura, was born, I remember holding her in my arms too. All the doctors and nurses had left. Rachel was resting. Again, the room was softly lit, and it was just me, Daddy, holding his little girl in my arms. Oh, here we go again. What a wonderful blessing. Thank you, God. Oh, yes, we had to wait for her. And Rachel suffered a lot having her. But Lord, thank you so much. She is so wonderful. And one of the doctors came in. I looked up. This is a new doctor I hadn't seen before. He wasn't there for the delivery. Rachel hadn't seen him either. So you're the couple with the baby with the birth defect, he said. What? I've come to examine your baby's cleft palate. What? What are you saying? Are you saying my daughter's not perfect? Are you saying my little Laura is not perfect? You're speaking against our baby. You're speaking against my wife. You're rejecting me. I felt like God was rejecting me at that moment. And I will tell you, a sword was piercing my soul at that moment. Sometimes we experience Christmas that way. We see in our mind's eye that best Christmas ever that we want to recreate. Maybe that storybook Christmas that we've only heard of and we've only just imagined and have never experienced yet. We just want to hold that baby Jesus in our arms and see Christmas the way it's supposed to be. So maybe we plan a special family get-together with everyone, but someone just can't make it. Or, you know, I spent all that time making that Christmas dinner, and then he's more interested in watching the football game. Or I found that perfect gift for her, but she just hardly seem to look at it. We feel rejected. That's not the Christmas we wanted to see. Or worse yet, I'm not the one who made it to the family get-together. Or I'm the one who had to watch that last extra point kick when she was calling us to the table. Or I'm the one who waited to the last minute to buy that gift. The gift that I actually felt bad about giving. Or I was the one who really didn't want to attend that extra church service. Or I was the one who made someone else feel bad because of the way I behaved. I'm the one guilty of rejecting somebody. In fact, sometimes I'm guilty of rejecting Jesus, not seeing what he's done for me or taking it for granted. That's really not how I want to experience Christmas. That's really not the way I want to see myself. So how do we see the light? Well, God saw our problem. So God named a man Israel, or renamed him Israel from Jacob, to carry God's promise of a Savior. And the family of Israel grew into the nation of Israel. And the nation carried the promise of God's Savior. And in the temple that day, Simeon met the promised Savior. The question is the promise for us too? The answer is yes, it is. God adopted us into his family at our baptism. St. Paul confirms this to us in Galatians 3:26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, delivered to you at your baptism. So we too have the promise of Israel. What does this mean for us? We find our next clue in the text itself. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be spoken against, so that the hearts of many will be revealed. When Jesus shines his light on you, what is revealed? What are your thoughts that are revealed? Are you falling or rising? If I say, I've been a Christian all my life, so I'm saved, we take Jesus for granted. Then we fall. If we forget that we too were once the outsiders, outside the body of Christ, outside the people of Israel, the so-called Gentiles, if we forget that and try to close the doors behind us, not let anyone else in, then we're falling. But if you're the one who's down on yourself for what you've done, Jesus says, I will lift you up. And if people are down on you for what Jesus says, I will lift you up. And when the world makes you feel like an outsider, Jesus Christ says, I will lift you up. You see, every year, Christmas comes, whether you're ready or not. Jesus comes at Christmas, ready or not. You see, Jesus had an appointment to see Simeon, and he kept it. Jesus had an appointment to be spoken against by the people of Israel itself. And he kept it, even though his closest friends even spoke against him. Jesus had an appointment on the cross to die for your sake. And he kept that appointment. Jesus had an appointment to be pierced by a Roman spear that day on the cross. A spear that pierced his mother's soul at the same time. That's what Simeon foretold. And that's the appointment that Jesus and Mary kept that day. And then, Jesus had an appointment with his resurrection. And he kept that appointment for the sake of you and me. And there's one more appointment that Jesus has with you. That's the appointment on the last day You better believe he's going to keep that appointment. As Simeon and Anna waited faithfully for so many years for Jesus' first coming, we now watch for his final coming, when those who speak against him will fall, and we who believe shall be raised. You see, Jesus keeps his appointments. And just like Simeon, you get to see an appointment from him today. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts. The temple was the place where God dwelt among his people. Today, the Holy Spirit comes and invites you to the place where God dwells. Look where you are right now. Today, you have an appointment to see his salvation with your very own eyes at his table, where he comes to you in his body and blood to take away your sins and forgive them. Today, you get to see his salvation for every single Christian who is here confessing the creed and communing with Jesus today. As a Christian, you get to see with your own eyes the Lord's salvation in the water of baptism. That's when he adopted you into the family of Christ. You get to see Jesus' revelation to the Gentiles with every baptism you witness. You get to join Jesus in welcoming one more outsider into the family of believers, into the new Israel. That is the glory of you, his people Israel. Today, Jesus comes to enlighten your eyes and open your heart and your life as he fulfills his promises of forgiveness and eternal life. When you've hurt someone or rejected someone or taken Jesus for granted, Jesus comes and forgives you. When the world speaks against you and leaves you out, Jesus comes and accepts you. So when you're looking for that perfect Christmas and you can't seem to see that baby Jesus in your arms, just look up. He's the one holding you in his arms. In Jesus' name, amen.